your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 19th, 2021. Got your boy Q here with you as always, again on this Tuesday, January 19th, as we're going to navigate through this week, get into the weekend and check out some championship games and find out who's going to be in the Super Bowl, man. And it's a lot of fun to cover the NFL in general, a lot of fun to talk about it, and of course, see the moving and shaking that the Raiders do throughout this offseason as they lead up into, another free agency period, lead into another draft period, lead into another training camp period, and then boom, head into the 2021 regular season. And I know Raider Nation, it seems like it's so far away, but from what I've learned, it'll go by quick, fast, and in a hurry. So let's go ahead and jump into today's episode coming up on the show in segment number three, as we usually do, have the calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. The number, 707-654-4693. Really love all the feedback that we get, and love the fact that we continue to have more new booty callers each and every day, more new booty texters each and every day. That's just a testament to you, Raider Nation, for the passion that you have for the team. Also, the fact that you're really good at, word of mouth advertising, just telling everybody, hey, man, check out this podcast. We did record numbers in 2020, 1.8 million downloads, and plan on doing that and then some in 2021, trying to take it to a whole nother level. I already got a lot of plans that I'm working on, and, we'll see how everything shakes out. But I believe that this thing will continue to grow and get bigger and bigger, and it's all because of you, Raider Nation. So for that, I thank you for your daily loyalty here on the podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about linebackers. It's something that I briefly talked about with Scott Goldbranson on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Monday. He's been having me record the Q-tip and any other opportunity I get just to record a little bit just so I can continue to be a part of his show. And I really do appreciate him wanting me to be on the show, because he could be like, hey, well, you know what? You're not on. You can't be on live, so forget it. I'll just move on and get someone else. And he could easily do that. And there's someone else that could clearly fill the void and it'd be okay. But, for him to still want me on the show, I thought that was pretty cool. So, I talked about linebackers in, not real deep dive. I didn't really go into a deep dive with him on Monday, but I want to do a little bit deeper of a dive and talk about how a linebacker, a big-time linebacker, is needed in this defense. And I know right now someone's thinking, yeah, but you got Corey Littleton, and you got Nick Wachowski, and you got Nicholas Morrow, or you got, say so-and-so, fill in the void there. But I really want to kind of take a deeper look at the linebacker position and really talk about how it's needed in this Gus Bradley defense and how this defense could be a lot better if they have an alpha dog type dude. So we'll talk about that in segment number two. Here is segment number one, as I do on the daily, give you the news and the notes of the day with the Raiders, and also the news and the notes of the day around the NFL. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So the first piece of news has to do with the Raiders, and it's a pretty big deal, and it's not 100% confirmed yet, but it sounds like it's something that's going to be official pretty quick. And this comes from Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. He actually put out a tweet saying, I'm hearing the Raiders tight end coach Frank Smith is leaving Las Vegas to join Brandon Staley's Chargers coaching staff. Smith is a huge influence on Pro Bowler Darren Waller, who actually honored his position coach with a Coaching Corps Game Changer Award last year. And again, Paul said, nothing official yet, but would be a promotion and job title, hearing that he's going to be the offensive line / run game coach with the Chargers. And so a big loss right there that the Raiders are going to have with tight end coach Frank Smith leaving the team and headed to the Chargers. And if you've seen the progress that Darren Waller has continued to have each and every year that he's been with the Raiders, I mean, that has a lot to do with Frank Smith and what he's been able to do, the work he's been able to do. Of course, a lot had to do with Darren Waller and the work he's willing to put in, and the athlete he is, and the player he is, and the focus that he has. But a lot of it also has to do with the coaching that he's having, which is under Frank Smith. And Frank Smith looks like he's going to go to division rival Chargers, which is a big deal. They have big time tight ends there in Hunter Henry, but it is what it is. That's what happens. When you have a position that shines a little bit, they're going to get poached. Coaches are going to get poached. And since that is a promotion, the Raiders can't block that from happening. So it looks like Frank Smith is going to be leaving Vegas to join with the Chargers coaching staff. And I've seen a lot of people talk about, okay, well, Jason Witten could take over as a tight end coach. And maybe he's the guy that John Gruden would turn to, and maybe he would be a good coach. But I just like to warn people that just because he's a Hall of Fame player and he's going to walk into the Hall of Fame immediately, as soon as he's eligible within 5 years, I mean, he's a hell of a tight end. does not necessarily mean that he's going to be a hell of a tight ends coach. And now he might be. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to put him down and say that he's not. But remember, he would be a first-time coach in the league. And yes, he could be a good one, but maybe he wouldn't. Maybe there's a guy out there that could be a little bit better. And I mentioned it on Monday that the Raiders have a window. They have a real window with this offense that's really good. They need to get the defense up to speed. But they've got to get this thing done, man. They got to seal the deal. They got to find a way to win the division or get into the playoffs one way or the other. And they got to make a run. It's not just about making the playoffs. This year, 2020, I felt like was just about making the playoffs. They've got to make a run. I mean, Mark Davis didn't give John Gruden the contract he did just to get to the playoffs and say, oh, hey, great. It's all, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs. We made the playoffs. He gave him that kind of contract to seal the deal. And when I mean seal the deal, I mean raise the fourth Lombardi trophy in Raiders history. And I know that I'm way out ahead of myself, and I'm really talking really far out in the future because they haven't even made the playoffs yet under John Gruden. But make no mistake about it, they did not give him that deal just to be mediocre and just to go ahead and barely make the playoffs. They gave him that contract because he's supposed to get the Raiders to the promised land. So what I'm saying all that to say, Jason Witten might end up being a good tight end coach, but do you really have the opportunity to give a coaching job to a first-time tight ends coach just assuming he's going to be good because he's a Hall of Fame player? I don't know if that's the best idea. So we'll see what happens. But the Raiders are clearly moving on from Jason Witten. He's not going to come back as a player next year anyway. I know that's what a lot of people were talking about. Well, it's time to move on from him, and then you can give Foster Moreau more snaps. The Raiders are going to do that anyway, so they don't have to put Jason Witten as a tight ends coach just to give Foster Moreau more snaps. They're going to do that. He's not coming back as a player in 2021. He's probably going to retire. But I would caution that there's probably some really good tight end coaches out there, not named Jason Witten, that John Gruden could go get. And also, I wanted to bring to the table, this was kind of interesting news that I saw Adam Schefter tweet out, and he put this out on Monday evening. He said Baltimore is releasing veteran running back Mark Ingram today. League sources say the move will save the Ravens $5 million against the 2021 cap and will allow Ingram to get an early jump on free agency. He's healthy and believes he has plenty to offer for 2021. I found that very, very interesting. And the thing about it is, what's even more interesting is when I go back and look at the numbers, and I know that Mark Ingram, you know, he's in a rotation there in Baltimore. You know, they got a plethora of running backs, including J.K. Dobbins. He was a rookie out of Ohio State. That's a guy I wanted the Raiders to draft as well. He only played in 11 games for Baltimore in 2020, had 72 attempts rushing. That's it for 299 yards. Now, he averaged 4.2 yards a carry, but he only carried the rock 72 times. He had 2 touchdowns and 14 first downs, and his longest carry of the season was 30 yards. So he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his tires in 2020. So, I mean, if he's healthy, that I'm saying, like, I don't like to be that guy that just goes out and says, oh my God, there's a guy who's available, Raiders go get him. But I will say, I've been talking about a compliment guy for Josh Jacobs. That might be a nice running back to have as a veteran to back up Josh Jacobs or just kind of be that 1-2 punch. I really wouldn't be mad at that. That's something that I would be very, very interested in. And depending on how much money he wants, he'll be playing in Las Vegas. There's no state tax, obviously. That's an interesting one to me. I'm very intrigued by that. So I definitely want to bring that to the table, that later on today, some point today, the Ravens are going to release Mark Ingram. And man, that's something to definitely pay attention to. So yeah, and I know he's been in the league for quite a while. But if he's still got something to bring to the table, he might be able to be a real deal player. Hell, he's only 31 years old. I could see him, you know, getting a 2-year deal in Las Vegas and you know, being in the running back room with Josh Jacobs, 2 Alabama guys. Why not? I think that would work out in a major way. But just wanted to kind of bring that to the table. Also, I wanted to pass on some Senior Bowl news. DeVonta Smith, Alabama wide receiver. He was the MVP of the national championship game. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's headed to the Senior Bowl. And the reason I bring this up, not because I think the Raiders have a chance to grab him at number 17, but I just think that what does that say about this young man? This dude was a Heisman Trophy winner. He also was the national championship game offensive MVP. And this dude says, you know what? I'm going to go put in extra work and go to the Senior Bowl. He can rest on what he did and still be drafted in the top 5, no doubt about it, this upcoming draft. But instead, he's going to go to the Senior Bowl. He's going to get to know these coaches that are going to be out there, and it's going to be Miami and the Panthers coaching staff, and he's still going to put in the extra work. The Senior Bowl actually tweeted out, hashtag Roll Tide, welcome wide receiver DeVonta Smith from Alabama 2021 Reese Senior Bowl. And, you know, it's just, and then hashtag Bama Factor. Look, this is the yardage that he had. This is the numbers that DeVonta Smith put up in 2020. 1,856 yards receiving, 23 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. 52 kick return yards, 237 punt return yards, and a touchdown. 2,151 all-purpose yards. And you think that he needs to go to the Senior Bowl? No, he does not. On a Senior Bowl side note, I did get approved for my credentials for the Senior Bowl, so I will be able to cover that. And I'm not going to go to Mobile, Alabama, but this year we all know is kind of the year of everything virtual and by way of Zoom. So I should be able to cover the Senior Bowl by way of Zoom. So should be able to get some good interviews with some players. That's what I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know exactly how they're going to roll it out, but knowing that my credential got approved for that, I think it's pretty cool. So I'll be able to bring that kind of information to the podcast. And the thing about it, man, is there's always a lot of really good players that attend the Senior Bowl that end up getting drafted very high. And again, just to see Devontae Smith going there, knowing he does not have to go there, kind of tells you a lot about him. So I just wanted to bring that to the table and show him a little bit of respect. Speaking of the draft season, you know, the Combine is obviously a big, big deal each and every year. I like to call it the Underwear Olympics, but it's still a big deal. You know, it's when all the general managers, all the scouts, all the teams are represented all in one place there in Indianapolis. And, you know, a lot of trades start happening, or at least that's where the conversation of trades start happening. That's when the conversations of free agents start happening. There's a lot of things that go on in Indianapolis, both at the Combine and then after hours at like restaurants and stuff that have to do with the Combine. Well, Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network tweeted out that the NFL just informed teams that the 2021 Scouting Combine officially is changing formats per source. No in-person workouts. They're only going to do the pro days on campus instead. All virtual interviews and psychological testing. Limited in-person medical exams. Likely in early April. He said a whole new world. So the Combine, as we know it, is going to change in a major, major way this year. So it's going to be interesting, you know, and it goes back to what I said early, I believe before the season even started, when I said, man, we're not going to know exactly what to expect from a lot of these college players. So you might start to see a lot more trades in the 2021 draft because there might not be enough film. The Combine might not be the same. I mean, there's a lot of questions and speculation that I had. And now it's just like, okay, here we go. You know, the Combine is going to be a lot different. So that's a tool that a lot of teams, they actually use. You know, you're going to have to go off of film, and some of these players and teams don't have as much film because 2020 was a strange year due to COVID. Some players opted out. Some players didn't play at all. Just all kind of stuff. So the Combine not being the same is going to be really strange, but I'm sure the NFL and the GMs and the coaching staffs, they'll find a way to navigate around it, but just don't expect it to be the same as it normally is. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, we're going to talk about how a big-time linebacker is needed in this Gus Bradley defense. I'll explain what I mean by that coming up in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. Of course, the championship games in the NFL are coming up this weekend. Obviously, basketball is in full effect, college and the pros. And there's one place that has you covered if you want to get into the game, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON. When you do your first deposit, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So again, get off the sidelines, get into the game. You have the NFL. You have college basketball, you have NBA, and they have all kinds of, they have UFC, they have everything covered, every kind of sport that you could imagine, they have that covered like a Jimmy hat. betonline.ag. If you're on social media, check them out at betonline_ag. Again, take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for the free account and use the promo code Locked On for your sign up bonus today. That's betonline.ag. Segment number two is on the way.
You're Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to turn my attention to the defense. It's going to be something that I talk about a lot this offseason because that is clearly the Achilles heel of the Raiders that clearly needs to be addressed in a major, major way. And the Raiders did what they could do heading into the 2020 season. They went out and spent some money in free agency to go and get some defensive players. They went out and used a lot of draft capital to get a lot of defensive players, and the defense still wasn't up to snuff. So Paul Gunther, he gets fired in the season. And then now Gus Bradley, we all know, comes over from the Chargers, and he's the new defensive coordinator of the Raiders. And, you know, it's funny because I've been pounding the table, and this really started clicking in my head over the weekend as I was watching the playoff games, and in particular that Tampa Bay-New Orleans game Sunday night, and I saw Devin White out there just doing what he does. And Devin White was drafted one pick after Clee Ferrell, if you remember. And, you know, it's funny, on the Locked On Raiders podcast, or on the podcast network, actually, we did a mock draft, and I wanted Quinnen Williams. That's who I had picked at number four. That's who I wanted at number four. But he was already off the table when I got my opportunity to pick and doing our mock draft. So I went with Devin White. from LSU. I said, hey, that's who the Raiders need to get at linebacker. That was my pick. And you can go check the tape, go back and listen to it if you want to. I picked Devin White. That was my guy. I picked Devin White. I picked Josh Jacobs. And then I picked, it was a defensive back I picked after that. Not Jonathan Abram. It was another one. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. My point was, Devin White was the guy I picked. And I said, hey, the Raiders have not addressed the linebacking position in so stinking long. They have not had an alpha dog guy in a long time, going all the way back to Kirk Morrison and Thomas Howard. And really, that's the real deal truth. And I know a lot of people said after I picked Devin White, they said, in Paul Gunther's scheme, you don't need a big-time linebacker to be successful. Because, hell, I wanted the Raiders to go get Roquan Smith when they had an opportunity to, but they didn't, because the Bears picked him at number 8 overall, and the Raiders, I believe, that year didn't pick to like number 13 or something. So never had an opportunity to go get Roquan Smith. But I've been looking at the linebacker position for quite a while, knowing that the Raiders need to go and get that guy, and they just haven't done it. Now, this year, in headed into 2020, they did go address the linebacker position. They went and got Corey Littleton as a free agent from the Rams, spent good money on him. Nick Wachowski spent good money on him. He was a free agent from the Bears. And, well, we see how it kind of shook out in 2020. And, of course, that was with Paul Gunther and his scheme. So maybe things change in 2021. Maybe those two guys are enough to say, hey, that's the alpha dog guy. But I'm just looking back at Gus Bradley and his defenses that he's had and some of the names that he's had as far as linebackers go, and realize that, man, these are some real deal dudes. And maybe Corey Littleton can be saved. Maybe Corey Littleton, you know, he could turn him around and really, get him cooking like he was when he was in LA and make him a difference maker. That's a possibility. And Nick Wachowski, I like him. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's an alpha. I don't think he's great. I just think he's good. You know, he's very solid, which is a lot better than what the Raiders had before him. But, I mean, he's not, like I said, he's not just an alpha dog guy. What I mean by alpha dog guy is, if you go back and look at Gus Bradley when he was with the Seahawks in 2012, they had two linebackers that are really, really stinking good. Bobby Wagner in 2012 was a rookie, and, well, the Seahawks defense was really good. They also had K.J. Wright. They had Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright in 2012. That season, the Seahawks went 11-5, second in the NFC West. Bobby Wagner's a stud. The year before that, in 2011, they had K.J. Wright, and they had others as well, but K.J. Wright, and they ended up going 7-9 in third in the NFC West. But 11-5, second in the NFC West in 2012, and Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright were the duo at the linebacker position. Those are two studs, and Bobby Wagner, obviously, the alpha dog. Now you look at him as a head coach in 2013 to 2016. He had Paul Puskusny, and I'm sure I'm saying his last name wrong, but he was a free agent that they picked up from Buffalo. Really good linebacker. Also, in 2014, Geno Hayes and Telvin Smith. Remember Telvin Smith? He really he ended his career early, kind of retired, and walked away from the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he was an absolute dog. Then in 2016, they added Miles Jack to the mix. So, I mean, they've always had players, and, you know, there was times where that Jaguars team was really good, and then there was times where they kind of fell off. And, you know, I'm not saying Gus Bradley is a great head coach, but still, defensive minded, he has linebackers. He always has real deal linebackers. Think about the Chargers 2017 through 2020. How about Kyle Emanuel? He was one of their linebackers. Denzel Perryman, Thomas Davis. Remember they added him as a free agent from the Carolina Panthers. They added him in 2019, and then even last year, Kenneth Murray, a guy that a lot of Raider Nation thought was going to be a possibility for the Raiders until they went out and got Nick Wachowski and they went out and got Corey Littleton. Well, Kenneth Murray, all he did is mess around as a rookie and get 107 tackles, 5 tackles for losses, 3 passes defensed, and a sack his rookie year. And there was questions about him in the draft. And he ended up being really, really stinking good. So I tell you all that to say, maybe Corey Littleton could be that alpha dog. He might. I don't know. I still have questions because, well, what we saw in 2020 wasn't very good. But again, that was Paul Gunther's scheme, and everyone kept saying, you don't need a big-time linebacker to be successful in Paul Gunther's scheme. One, I don't believe that. I don't even believe that in Paul Gunther's scheme, but that's what everyone was telling me, that, oh, no, you can get a linebacker in the third round or fourth round. I think it's about time that the Raiders really invest in a real deal floor general, a guy who could be that dude on the field where he's wearing the green dot, he's demanding and commanding the defense and telling them what to do, getting everybody lined up correctly, and has an absolute understanding. I mean, hell, even Paul Gunther. Remember what Paul Gunther did? He went out and got Vontaze Burfict, and as much as I didn't like that because I knew he wasn't going to be available all season long, for the 4 games, he played really well. You know, and just think, that was Vontaze Burfict at the end of his career. So I just think a real deal linebacker, I mean, a big alpha dog, again, not just a dude, but a real deal dude. Now, again, if he could save Corey Littleton and turn him into the truth and turn him into, you know, that guy, then great. Then you're cooking with grease. But I'm not 100% sure that he's going to be that dude. He might end up being a good player, And, you know, you might be able to see a lot more than you saw from him his first year with the Raiders. But you, I kind of feel like you know what he is, and maybe he lost some of his confidence, and this coaching change could be different. You know, I mean, Gus Bradley is going to be leading the defense. They also have a couple of other coaches that they've added to the mix, like Richard Smith. He's the new linebackers coach, so he's obviously going to play a major role in trying to get Corey Littleton and his confidence back. Kwiatkowski, again, I think is a good player. I don't think he's an alpha. They just need a sideline to sideline, three down back, a guy who doesn't come off the field. And again, I go back to Devin White and everything he did for Tampa Bay. And, well, Raider Nation, you saw him when Tampa Bay played the Raiders early in the season and how he was all over the field. He was knocking down passes. He was getting to the quarterback. He was having tackles for loss. I mean, he was just all over the field. That's what they need, a guy with the speed and quickness to go all over the field, drop back in coverage, rush the passer, do what he's got to do, you know, stop the run. They've got to get that dude. I mean, look, I don't know who they're going to pick at 17 in the first round, and maybe that's not a guy that you need to get in the first round. Maybe he could be a second round dude, but he's got to be a difference maker. And if Gus Bradley looks at the guys that they have now and say, yeah, I could turn this dude into the truth, great. But I just think that it's been a long time since the Raiders addressed that position early in the draft. I mean, really early in the draft, and had their guy. Like, hey, this is going to be our cornerstone dude for a long time. Like, they went out and got Damon Arnett and feel like he's going to be a long-term cornerback for the team. He's going to be a dude that they could build around. They got Trayvon Mullen the year before in the second round. They feel like he's a guy they could build around. They got Jonathan Abram in the back end in the first round as a safety. They think they could build around him. Where is the linebacker that you feel like you could build around? And I know again that the money that they spent, those two dudes should step up and be some real deal players. But again, what we saw, at least from Corey Littleton, left a lot to be desired. So if he could be turned around and be that guy, great. But I just think that they need them a guy, like a big deal dude, a guy who can get it done, a guy that when, you know, opposing teams come across the middle, they realize that, hey, there's this dude lurking there. I mean, because teams now prepare for Devin White. They absolutely prepare for him. And you saw on Sunday, he could drop back in coverage and get an interception. He picked up his first interception of the season. And what great timing, right? Basically knocked the Saints out of the playoffs himself with the way that he was playing. They just need a dude that can roam all over the field and just get it done. Be a difference maker. Again, I mentioned Roquan Smith. I think he's doing a great job in Chicago. He's a guy, you know, similar to him. They need to go out there and find a dude like that. And there's, you know, there's multiple guys that are going to be available. And I have people hitting me up and kind of giving suggestions based off what they heard me say on Raider Nation Radio 920. And, you know, maybe there's guys like that. Mike hit me up on Twitter and said, hey, Q, I just heard you talking about the Raiders needing a linebacker. Zaven Collins from Tulsa, 6'4", 260, could play Sam linebacker in base and edge rusher in nickel, could get him at 17 and have the dude on defense. So maybe that's a guy that they kind of look at. I know Tulsa had a hell of a year. Matter of fact, I know a young man that's from the Central Texas area that went to Tulsa, Jackson Player. He's a defensive lineman. He's a heck of a player. He's just a little short. He would have been, man, he probably would have been playing at Alabama if he had been a little bit taller, but that dude can absolutely get down. I mean, that's my guy, but he's not a linebacker, you know? And so I just think that the Raiders need that. I think that they're probably going to address free agency, maybe address the defensive line and free agency. But if you can go into the draft and get you a guy that you feel very comfortable about being your dude at the linebacker position for, you know, for the foreseeable future, that should be what the Raiders do. Look, and they tried to go and make that happen when they went and got Rolando McClain from Alabama, and I was so excited when they went and got him at number 8. That's how long I've been wanting the Raiders to get a real deal linebacker, that I got so fired up when Rolando McClain was drafted. And we all know as Raider fans, it didn't shake out the way it should have, but man, I thought that dude was going to get it done. You know, and I know Notre Dame has a couple guys that the Raiders could be looking at. I mean, there's plenty of the dudes that they could be looking at. I just want to make sure that they get one of them, and I think that they really need to emphasize that position. Instead of just, like I said, free agency is great, but you need to get a homegrown dude, in my opinion. So just wanted to bring that up to the table and talk about all the different linebackers that Gus Bradley's had in his defense and that the Raiders need to get one. Can Corey Littleton be that guy? Can Nick Kwiatkowski be that guy? Maybe, but why not go and get one that you know is an absolute dude and you could build around? Again, the Chargers with Kenneth Murray had a guy that got 107 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 3 passes defense, and a sack his rookie year. And there was questions when he was coming out of Oklahoma, like, I don't know if he's going to be able to be a three down backer. Yeah, well, it looks like he did just fine with the Chargers in 2020. So hopefully, here's to hopefully that the Raiders go out and get them a dude like that, unless they feel 100% confident that they already have that guy in Corey Littleton and Nick Witkowski. And then, you know, I'll take a step back and say, okay, hey, I was wrong. They already did have that guy on the staff. I just don't see it as of right now. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. What's on your mind? 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. What you got to do is go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, carpet. If you're trying to re-carpet your car, they got you. If you got that classic you're trying to fix up, they got you. You got that car you drive the kids to school every day, or you go to work in every day, or you go to the grocery store in, they got you covered. Everything you need, just a few easy clicks away, and it gets delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com, the catalog is super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brand, specifications, and most importantly, the prices that you prefer. Yeah, that's right. The prices at rockauto.com, super, super low. Same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers, so there's no need to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On Raiders podcast in a little box that says, how'd you hear about us? That's how they know that I sent you there. So great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need, all from one spot, rockauto.com. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. First up today is Vader Raider in the 303 calling to comment on Monday being MLK Day and what he thought when he heard a good portion of Martin Luther King's speech on Monday's show. Here he is, Vader Raider in the 303.
Q, Raider Nation, Vader Raider with some random thoughts from the dark side. Hey, just wanted to say thank you for your podcast on Monday, that audio of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech. In elementary school in California, there was at least a couple times a year where we got to listen to the speech, at least most, you know, bits and pieces of it. And they also, in California, they would play it on TV quite a bit. Part of a KTVU and Channel 2 would play it as part of the package. But I hadn't heard the speech in a long time, and, you know, Q, you playing parts of that speech, it gave me goosebumps, and it made me realize that, you know, the importance of the day and the importance of what he stood for and kind of values and beliefs that he had that he tried to give to all of us. And it just, you know, you played it and just really, it hit me good. You got me, Q. Just wanted to say thank you for playing it. Happy MLK Day. I mean, you know, I didn't obviously get to celebrate because I had to work, but, you know, I was thinking of everybody out there. And, you know, I'm just glad that you said something in the beginning of the podcast. All right. Thanks. Vader Raider.
There he goes, Vader Raider in the 303, and I definitely appreciate the call, my man, and 2020 proved a lot to me, man. It proved to me that the country's come a long way, but it also proved to me that the country still has a long way to go, so I thought it was very appropriate that, you know, I play at least a portion of the speech on Monday's show, so I'm glad you appreciated it. I wasn't sure if people were going to appreciate it or not. You know, sometimes you just kind of roll the dice and go with your gut, and that's what I always do, and so glad to know that you did appreciate it, and I did get some positive feedback on Monday from others that enjoyed hearing it as well. So thank you so much for that. Next up is a text from Jersey Shore Raider. He says, hey Q, Jersey Shore Raider here. Josh is rubbing it in that we didn't take Devin White in the draft. I know we have a problem drafting, but does he have to do that? I hope we could turn it around this offseason. Do you think Mayock will take control of the draft this year, or will he let John overrule his choice? That's Jersey Shore Raider, and he was talking about Josh Dubow, and he had put out some kind of tweet or multiple tweets about the Raiders could have taken Devin White, and that's something I talked about in segment number two. But that's just not what they wanted to do. They wanted to get some defensive line help, and they did with Cleve Ferrell. Devin White was not their guy. Yeah, he could have been their guy, but he wasn't. There's multiple guys. We can go through the history of the Raiders draft, and we could do that pretty much with every team that has missed on a guy or passed on a guy. And and then the very next pick was, that dude or whatever. So it is what it is. I do think that, Mayock has a loud voice in that room, but ultimately it comes down to him and John, and they battle it out, and they come to a compromise. I think that they're a good, yin and a yang, but we'll see. If you listen to segment number two, that I think that a big-time linebacker is still a big-time need. And, and if I'm wrong and Corey Littleton or Nick Wachowski ends up being that guy, great. But I just think that they're good linebackers. I don't think they're alpha dog linebackers, and I think that's what's needed for the Raiders moving forward, especially in this Gus Bradley defense. So we'll see what happens, but thanks for that text. Definitely appreciate you. Next up is a call from Jordan in Oregon. He's chiming in to talk about Monday's podcast and how he gets fired up about this time of the year as far as the podcast goes. And, even though it's the offseason, the Raiders don't have a game, he still really enjoys it. So here he is, Jordan in Oregon.
Hey, Q, what's going on, man? It's Jordan in Oregon. Just wanted to call in and chime in a little bit on some of the talking from Monday's podcast. Great pod. Love all the calls, man. Also, this time of year is when this podcast for me really becomes important. I love it all year. I never miss an episode, but when there's no football on Sundays and, our Raiders aren't playing on Sunday, I should say, this has been awesome to still feel like you're kind of have something to look forward to, still in the loop on the team and get different perspectives. So I just wanted to mention that, Q, is this is my go time as far as your podcast goes. I love it. I love the winter month up through free agency. But yeah, you brought up something I wanted to just kind of give you a shout out on and pick your brain a little bit if you could elaborate a little bit more on it. Is you brought up kind of the timeline of the Raiders in response, I think it was to one of the calls on Monday's podcast. But I agree with that too, is that the timeline of the Raiders has to really be brought up a lot when it comes to free agency and the draft and all that stuff coming up here this year. And what I mean by that is this is we're at a crossroads with Gruden and Mayock as far as if we're going to keep improving on our record from the previous year. I guess every year is a crossroads, but I really think this year, was the year we were expecting playoffs and with coming short of our goal. I think this next year, if there's a little more pressure on this team, and I think it's time to think about the timeline of, Derek and his contract. Start thinking about the timeline of some of our rookie first round picks from the year before, like Josh Jacobs, Abrams, Farrell. After year three on their contract, you've got to start making some tough decisions. And We're almost to that point. And so I really think this year and this offseason is really critical to think about the moves we're making, that they line up with the Raiders' overall timeline. I know, every year you want to win a championship, but if you were to, spin this all into a math equation, when contracts are ending, when rookies need renewals, when what free agents you can sign versus how much cap you're going to have, next year versus the next, there's just so much to it. And with all that being said, I really hope that this organization is thinking about all that and just trying to get all of our ducks to line up this year and get this defense to take off through the free agency and draft. But anyway, Q, hope you have a good week. Peace out. Love everything you're doing, man. Later.
There he goes, Jordan in Oregon, and I appreciate the call, my man, for sure. And I do think the Raiders and John Gruden have to realize that their time is not super long. And, it's not like that in the league, you saw the 49ers go to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden they fall off the next year. And I know injury had a lot to do with it, but that's how things go, man. Sometimes you get to a Super Bowl. Look at the Rams. They got to the Super Bowl, then they fell off. And I know they were a good team again this year and made it to the playoffs and lost to Green Bay. But, it's ebb and flow, man. When you get to the promised land or when you make a deep run, you've got to almost seal the deal, or else you're back at square one, or you're at least not back at square one, but you're still trying to get back where you need to go, and it's not quite as easy. So I think it's like 2 to 3 years max, and I'm so glad you brought up guys like Josh Jacobs, Cleve Ferrell, not to mention Mad Max. These guys are dudes that, like Mad Max, for example, he's on a 4-year deal. Remember, he wasn't a first round pick. So after this upcoming year, he's going to be looking for a new contract. He's going to be looking for a contract extension. After year four, he'll be a free agent, and Cleve Ferrell. I know he's got the fifth-year option. So does Josh Jacobs. So does Jonathan Abram. But these guys are all going to be looking for deals sooner rather than later. And the Raiders are going to have to make some decisions, like you mentioned. Whose guys that they move forward with? Whose guys they let walk in free agency? This season is definitely, absolutely going to be critical. Good stuff, my man. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Next up, I got a text from Jay Raider in the 805. Before I get to that text, got to sound the alarm one time. Because Jay Raider in the 805 is a new booty. Say, what's up, Q? Jay Raider from the 805, my first time texting in, but I've been listening to you for over a year now. I wanted to ask your opinion on something. I heard on Vinny Bonsignore's show, In the Huddle, Vinny was talking with his producer, Demon, about Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and the fact he hasn't got a head coaching job with so many teams looking for new head coaches this offseason. One of the reasons Vinny came up with was that other teams see the Chiefs and think of the offense as being solely Reed's offense, and Bieniemy is in his shadow. How would you think about the Raiders giving him an OC position in Vegas for a year if he doesn't end up getting a head coaching position? He could definitely help out calling the red zone plays, as well as giving insight on how the Chiefs play their offense so Bradley could come up with a better plan against them. And lastly, other NFL teams would see that Bieniemy is great without Andy Reid, which could benefit him in landing a head coaching position the year after. Love what you've done for Raider Nation Q. Keep up the great work. Peace. That's from Jay Raider in the 805. Well, Jay, as much as that's a good idea, in theory, it's not an idea that's a possibility. The Chiefs aren't going to let him go to the division rival Raiders as an offensive coordinator. That would be a position that is a lateral move. It wouldn't be a promotion. So they could block that. If the Raiders tried to even request that, they could block that. I don't see why Eric Bieniemy would leave the Chiefs where he's at and nice and comfortable with Andy Reid and just go to be an offensive coordinator with another team, regardless, Raiders or anyone else. The other thing about that is, well, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, they all came from the Andy Reid tree, and they were able to get head coaching jobs in the league. And, you know, there's still questions about Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson. I think it goes way deeper than just being under Andy Reid. And look, I do look at Andy Reid's offense and say, hey, that's Andy Reid's offense. I know Eric Bieniemy does a lot. I think he should be a head coach in the league, but there's multiple reasons why he has not got the shake. A lot of people are saying that he doesn't interview that well. He's had multiple interviews, but has not had back-to-back interviews. Like, he hasn't come in for a second interview. Other factors play a role in it, you know, and I'm not trying to get racial or anything, but, I mean, we all see the lack of diversity with the head coaches across the NFL. I mean, that's something that, you know, you can't deny. It's there, you know, so I think that that is a factor. Also, Eric Bieniemy has a little bit of baggage in his past, you know, and you can't deny that either. Everything plays a role. Some teams don't want to have to deal with stuff like that. You know, he did a virtual, like a Zoom meeting with the Texans on Monday. I think they're just trying to save face because they're trying to keep Deshaun Watson happy or make him happy again because he's not happy. Maybe they're able to do that. Maybe they end up hiring him because of that. Who knows? But, you know, another factor that plays into it is that the Chiefs, well, they went to the Super Bowl last year and, you know, he didn't get a job like Kyle Shanahan did when he was with the Falcons and he was offensive coordinator and he had that job and waiting with the 49ers. He didn't get that. So by the time the Super Bowl's over, all those jobs are filled. So, I mean, now he was at least able to meet with the Texans by way of Zoom, so that's a positive. But, you know, if the Chiefs go on a run and go all the way to the Super Bowl, then all those job positions are going to be full. Right now, the only two that are left are the Texans and the Eagles. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's something to definitely pay attention to and see what happens with Eric Bieniemy. I guess if he doesn't get one this year, you would have to feel like he's going to get one next year. But as far as the Chiefs allowing him to make a lateral move and go to the Raiders, that's not going to happen. But again, great thought in theory, just not something that's going to possibly happen. So thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the show. Still got a text from East Bay T. Got a text from Raider Black in Maryland. Also got another call from Vader Raider in the 303 calling about some Raider football talk. And that's all going to come up on tomorrow's show. Plus, we'll have a lot more to get to. It'll be Wednesday. It'll be the 20th. Already flying through the month of January in this new year, 2021. So Raider Nation, until then, make sure you take care of your family. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Social distance. Do what you got to do. And most importantly, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.